Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Secure Your Life. I am your host, Diamond Taylor, and tonight we are talking about a wonderful subject. It is all about your kids, your money, your plans, taking financial education to the next level to create financially smart kids. That is what this segment is all about, but tonight's topic is once again about social economics and who is responsible for the financial failures of Generation X. And Generation X are those who are born of the baby boomers, roughly between the early 60s to mid 70s, and that of Generation Y, the children who are born in the 80s and the 90s. So the first question at the top of the hour is, who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and Generation Y? And then next we're going to talk about after that is, what are we doing to help the next generation prepare for the future? Now, the baby boomers are the ones that are actually running things now. Those were our parents. So, and what's going on with us as a country are based on what's going on with the baby boomers, because those are now the ones that are considered the seniors. So we want to know who is responsible for the financial economic failures of Generation X and Generation Y. So I'm going to give you the phone number right now if you just tuned in. This is Secure Your Life. We're talking about your kids, your monies, your plans. The phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. Before we do anything and before we get this party started and the conversation rolling, we must do some housekeeping and play our disclaimer. So I'll meet you right on the other side of that before we start the show. Here's our disclaimer.
It is time to do a little housekeeping. and give you our disclaimer for Secure Your Life. The views and opinions expressed on the show may not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the host, the sponsors, this station, and that of Pericon Productions. The content and or information that is referenced and referred to on this program are intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. We encourage our listeners to seek direct consultation from a qualified, licensed, and certified professional. The purpose of this show is to provide an open forum where one is free to express his or her opinion. In a no-holds-barred discussion about money, personal finances, and business matters. Now, it is time for you to sit back and participate and enjoy the show. And once again, thank you for joining us for Secure Your Life.
Okay, we are back, and I would like to thank you for joining me, and this is Secure Your Life. Tonight, we are talking all about your kids, your money, your plans. This segment is all about kids and money, and we are talking about trying to take financial education to the next level to create financially smart kids. Tonight's topic is social economics. Who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X? And Generation Y. So if you don't know which generation you fall in, you are the children of the baby boomers, roughly those who were born in the 1960s and 70s. And then if you're Generation Y, you are the children of the Generation X, which means you were born in the 80s and the 90s. And then our next question will be, what are we doing to help the next generation, will be our millennium children, prepare for their future? So I want to give the phone number. The phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. You can also join us on Twitter, and that would be Twitter at Secure Your Life or Facebook at Secure Your Life if you would like to have your question and or comment read over the air. You can also join us in the chat room. The chat room is now open, and I will repeat our question one more time. Who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and that of Generation Y? So I'm going to open the phone lines up and to kind of get some kind of dialogue going in that direction. And once again, if you don't know which generation you fall in, whether you are Generation X, you are the children of the baby boomers. That means you were born in the 1970s. And if you're Generation Y, you were born in the 80s and the 90s. So we want to know the question is, who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and that of Generation Y? I'm going to open up the phone line to area code 815-395. How are you this evening?
Hey, good evening, Diamond, and how are you?
I am doing great. Did you hear our question?
Yes, I did. And I think the problem in America today is that generations are too close together. You have too many single-parent situations in America today. You have entirely too many situations where you have mothers that are 14, 15, 16 years older than their oldest child.
Okay, well, then let me stop you right there, Ron, and ask you this. Now, which generation started this? Now, are we talking the baby boomer generation that's too close together, or are we talking about Generation X, which means the children that were born in the mid-1960s and 1970s? So is it Generation X or Generation Y that is the generations that are too close together?
Okay, now, I would say the whole thing started, say that, okay, I would say late 50s, early 60s.
Okay, and so you're saying that the baby boomers, at the end of the baby boomer stage.
Right, at the end of the baby boomer stage.
And beginning of Generation X, which is 1960s and 1970s, are when the generations started to be coming too close together.
Right, right. It started, say, like around 58, 59, and 60, somewhere around in there. Is say, like when the whole thing just started going down the drain. And the situation, it has just deteriorated since then. You have, how can you parent when you're practically a child yourself?
That's true.
How can you parent when you're practically a child yourself? And your children end up by making the same mistakes in life that you have made. And it just continues. You have people that are not aware of the fact that of where they are and what they can do. You're in America. The name of the game here is money.
Right.
Not getting money, making money. People that are only out to get money, these are the rip-off people, the liars, the cheats, the robbers, the murderers for money. People that are out to make money, hey, that's a totally different thing. There's a difference in making money and just getting it. And the thing being, as far as this thing is, say that getting the people that are out getting money, who ever heard of a retired drug dealer?
Oh, they're retired 6 feet under.
Right, that's the only place they retire. I think it was a couple of years ago. They raided in Mexico. They raided one of these big shot drug cartel guys. They raided his villa, and in the basement, this guy had pillars and pillars of money, pallets and pallets of money. More money than he would ever even think about using. In his lifetime, he could live, if he lived to be 1,000 years old, he would not use all of that money. And it's just sitting there. And the thing being, they're making money hand over fist, but you never hear about any of these guys saying, okay, Jose and Rodrigo, hey, you take, this is your cut, I'm out of here.
Well, so no, it's just greed. But here, if you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life. It is all about the kids tonight, kids and money, and social economics. And the phone number is area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And the question is, who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and that of Generation Y? So who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and Generation Y? We want to hear from you. I'll be taking questions and our comments in the chat room as well as Facebook and Twitter. I'm going to open up the phone lines one more time. And area code 312, just give me 1 second. The phone number is area code 347-884-9343. If you want to have your comment or question, you have a question for me or one of the other audience members, we'd love to hear from you. I'd like to get your take on who is actually responsible for the financial economic failures of Generation X and Generation Y. And then we're going to talk about a resolve after that. So, Erica, 312-217, how are you this evening?
I am spectacular. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing great. So tell me, what is your opinion? Who's responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and Generation Y?
Generation X.
Okay.
Generation
so you're saying
X.
That Generation
X,
the people who were born between the 1960s and 70s, are responsible for their own economic failures.
Mm-hmm. Here's the reason why I say that. The baby boomers, which are our parents, the majority of the baby boomers are, majority of them if you took the census during that particular time, were usually two income families, both reasonably educated, usually college educated, both were making at least over $35,000 to $40,000 a piece and or more. So when it came to that, my generation, because I was born in 62, we were able to go educational-wise, we were able to go, they provided us with all the things we needed, and instead of some of the things we wanted, a lot of the things we wanted. We went to better colleges. We truly graduated because they were instilling in us. They were instilling in us, if you have education, you have the keys to the kingdom. That's not true. That's only part of the story.
Okay.
When you walked into college, one of the first things you got when you went to Beck's bookstore, Borders, or whatever, or the university bookstore, when you bought that $200 book that's 400 to 500 pages thick, in it there were 3 to 4 applications for credit cards. First time away from home for a lot of people, I was living at home. The first credit card I got was an American Express. Biggest mistake I ever made. But my parents, who were used to paying MasterCard and Visa, American Express has started making a new campaign strictly for college students. The parents, the baby boomers didn't inform us about, and neither did the colleges, so both actually failed us, in the realms of credit, paying it back, getting student loans and what that meant. Because all you knew was you were going to school for 4 years. I was pre-med. So I knew I had a couple more years if I decided to really become a doctor. I had medical school that I was going to have to pay for. But nobody told me how long it would take me to pay off my student loans once I graduated, and I only had 6 months to find a job. Nobody told me that. And that I got my loans from one of the biggest banks in the city of Chicago at that time, which was also on Discover Credit Card, which was Sears, which is now Fifth Third. Fannie Mae was a portion because they had Fannie Mae loans. Yes, they were low interest. But our parents, neither one of my parents, went with me to help me understand the contracts for the loans. In the same breath, you got the new car.
Right.
After you graduated, your graduation gift was, all right, instead of getting the job first, I got the car first. Again, they didn't prep us for the next step.
Okay, well, hold
that
thought.
They forgot a piece of the key.
Hold that thought. If you just joined us, you are listening to Secure Your Life, and tonight we're talking about your kids, your money, your plan. But the topic for this evening is an extension of social economics. The question is, who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and that of Generation Y? And if you're not sure about what years that falls under, Generation X are the children of the baby boomers. Those are not the baby boomers, but they are their children. So if you were born in the early 60s to 70s, you are Generation X. And if you're Generation Y, you were born in the 80s and the 90s. So the question again is, who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and Generation Y? And then after we do that, then we're going to talk about the resolve of that. Then at the end of the hour, we're going to go into what are we going to do to help the next generation, which would be the new millennium children, to prepare for their future. Because we have to first deal with the parents of these new millennium children so that we can create a resolve. So the first question is, who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and Generation Y? I want to hear from you. The phone number is area code 347 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343. And I'm going to allow area code 312-217 to continue your comment. Go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
Okay, and then in that same component, let's not forget our all-time favorite Uncle Sam. They did nothing to educate the consumer. Our parents had to learn actually by doing it and then seeing what's happening. They literally had to do the hunt and try method to see if it works. There were a lot that were already knew how to play the stock market. But consumer education, and at one point in time, it was a high school course. When you took consumer ed, how to write a check out, how to do your check registry. They took that out with my generation in high school, and they should have let it stay.
Let me ask you a question. So you're saying, in actuality, that the baby boomers are responsible for the economic failures of Generation X. We'll start with that. We won't even go into Generation Y yet.
Yes.
And you're saying that they failed to educate their children, which would be your generation and my generation. They failed to give us what was needed for us to make sound financial decisions. They failed to give us the proper financial or consumer education. The schools were giving it, but then they snatched that curriculum out of the schools, and it was never replaced. So that means that once you graduated from elementary school and then graduated from high school, and then you are given, like you said, the baby boomers did give the Generation X a great opportunity to go on to college, but not necessarily giving them the tools to prepare them for college beyond
academia.
Exactly.
There you go.
Okay, so
that
academia,
exactly.
In high school you were prepared for that, but you weren't prepared for the financial or the consumer role of dealing with the responsibility that go along with going to college, which means being introduced to banking, being introduced to credit cards,
contract. Right.
Understanding
contract.
The student loans. Okay,
right.
I understand it. Now, 815, you were saying that you are a baby boomer. Is that correct?
I guess you would put me under there, right?
Yeah,
right.
You would be the generation that was before Generation X.
Okay.
Which means you were born, you would have, in order for you to be a baby boomer, you would have to have been born anywhere 30s, 40s, even 50s.
Oh, okay, that would make me a baby boomer.
That would make you a baby boomer.
Okay, now what happened, now here's the thing. Now, when my parents were coming along, high school was enough.
Right.
Okay. And they would accept you even if you didn't have a high school diploma. You could still get a job.
Okay, so let's bag it up. So then
okay,
you're
now,
saying that. Wait a minute. Let me. So I can understand what you're saying. Your parents,
right,
which would have been turn of the century,
yes,
your parents went through the Depression.
Right.
Okay, so even before the Depression, you'd get away with only having partial elementary school education.
Right.
If you passed elementary school or at least middle school, which would be sixth grade, if you had between a sixth grade and eighth grade education level, back when your parents were that generation, then you could get a job.
Right.
Without even having completed an eighth grade education or elementary school education, you were still afforded a job.
Right.
Then the baby boomers would have had to complete high school,
right,
in order to be able to get a job.
Right. You have to. We had to have, say, at least high school. We needed at least a high school diploma. And but what happened was that when my parents went to credit card, there were no credit cards then for my parents. The credit cards, let's see, 77, I remember the first, I think around 77, the bank sent, my wife and I were together then. They sent us, they sent us a letter trying to get us to purchase a credit card from the first, it was the First National Bank then.
Okay.
And that was 77. Okay, so what is this? It's something brand new. Okay. Now, the thing being is that right away my wife is saying, oh, we should get this. So I'm saying, for what? You know, I want it. We should get it. She hadn't bothered to read the fine print. And
what did the fine print say?
Okay, the fine print stated that they compound the interest daily. I don't remember what the percentage was, but they compounded the interest daily. It was not because at the time we had accounts with Sears, Ward's, Carson's, and Fields, but they compound their interest. I don't know what they're doing now, but they compound the interest. They compounded their interest then quarterly.
Oh, quarterly.
Huh?
Okay.
Oh, okay. I thought it was monthly. Oh, so it was quarterly then.
Yeah, it was quarterly then. Okay, now they compounded the interest quarterly, which means that you could make a purchase and you could pay on it and you were not getting killed. But with this interest, compounding the interest daily, hey, this don't look good. So I told her, I said, hey, look, I said, now all the other cards, I've given you free rein on them. I said, but with this one, oh, but you'll have a card too. I said, you're on your own on it. I said, I'll take the card, but you're on your own on it. I said, that will be your card to use and your card to pay. And I'll tell you right now, if you do not pay it all when the bill comes, the card's going to garbage. That's it.
And that's a good concept to have.
Before
you finish your statement, let me give, if you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. It is all about your kids, your money, your plan. And the question for tonight is, who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and Generation Y? And if you'd like to join us in the chat room, have your comment or question read over the air, I'll be glad to chat with you there, or Facebook, that would be Secure Your Life at Facebook, or Twitter, that's Twitter at Secure Your Life. So, or you can join us live on air right now at area code 347-884-9343. Again, that is area code 347-884-9343, and if you are in the queue, I do see you, so please be patient. I'll get to you right after Ron makes his comment. Go ahead, Ron, about the credit card.
Okay, now what happened was that the first month rolls around, she gets the bill. I had my card about 3 months before I finally got around to using it. First month rolls around, she gets the bill. I think it was $220 or something like that. Anyway, she's crying. What? Oh, no. So she's crying the blues. Oh, I can pay a little bit this month. I say, hey, what did I tell you? It's all or nothing. She cried as she wrote the check out.
but
she
that
did.
Was
she
good,
wrote, she did go on to write the check out. But I hope that was a lesson to her. But
right,
it was, and it should be a lesson to everyone. These people are not playing. The name of the game is making money. And
that's,
this
that
what,
is true.
This
so let me go. Let me do
doing.
A recap. Let me do a recap on what you said, Ron.
Shopkeepers.
Right. Let me do a recap on what you just said. Because the question was, who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and Generation, well, Generation X first and then Generation Y. And by you being a baby boomer, your parents were turn of the century, so your parents was able to get a job before, you know, without completing eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't necessary for them to have a high school diploma because you could get a job back then even without a high school diploma, and they even survived the Great Depression where jobs were scarce but that generation was able to pull themselves up and rebound so that your generation could, who did, ended up, you know, going through school, and it was only required for you to have a high school diploma to be able to gain employment. You got married and had a wife, and when you all got together, you all had your economic plan as far as establishing forms of credit, banking, and stuff like that. So you all as baby boomers were able to start a financial plan for yourself, even if it was just the basics of having a checking and savings account and establishing some forms of credit. Now, your children would be considered Generation X. So the question is, who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X? Now, when you first started at the top of the hour, you said that you believe that the baby boomers, and also area code 312 also said that you believe that the baby boomers are responsible for not properly preparing their children, and maybe that you all gave Generation X too much, not just supplying them with their needs, but giving them a lot of their wants, where they didn't understand what the value of money really was, even though you all did better than your parents, which would be the turn of the century parents. The baby boomers did better than their parents, and because you did better, you were able to afford your kids to go beyond high school, which means now you all are sending your children to college, encouraging them to go to college. And the question is, where did the economic failure start for the Generation X? Which means, and area code 312, you said that you felt that your parents did not necessarily, and even the educational system failed you by not preparing you with consumer economics, or should I say, yeah, consumer economics, where you could understand what you needed to do to prepare for your future. Going to college, when you went into the bookstore, you were given a credit card and didn't have a job. When you got your student loan, you didn't understand the terms of that and had sticker shock at the fact that you only had 6 months in which to find a job so that you could pay the student loans back. Am I correct in our summary of what has happened?
Yes, and then what happens is the new millennium kids, we were so busy being the child's friend, we forgot to be the child's parent. And number two, their main thing now is entitlement. Because
we haven't even gotten to Generation Y yet.
Right.
Not even talking about that. I'm talking about let's deal with Generation X. I'm going to add some more people to our conversation. If you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. It's all about kids and money. So it's your kids, your money, your plan. And the question and topic for tonight is social economics and who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and that of Generation Y. And then we're going to deal with the resolve of that. And then how do we help the next generation, which would be the new millennium children, how do we prepare them for their future so that they don't repeat what has happened to Generation X and Generation Y? So I'm going to add area code 773-787 to our conversation. I want to thank you for joining me. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm good, and yourself?
I'm doing good. Did you hear our question?
I did. I did hear the question. I agree. I agree with what everyone was saying, and I think that one of the things that, well, basically, I guess I would be considered Generation X because I was born in the 60s.
Yes.
And my parents were actually more turn of the century, I guess, going into the turn of the century parents. They had me later in life. But one of the things that I think that they did and what we have to currently do now with our children is we've got to go back to the basics. And the basics for them and the basics that should have been the standard for us as we were going along the whole time was knowing the value of a dollar and knowing how to pay for things right out, not having credit, because credit is a temptation to spend beyond your means and what and beyond what you're capable of paying back. If we're not economically trained or taught how to fluctuate with cash payments and credit and when to use credit and how to use the credit, we end up being cash poor and credit and top heavy in credit, which leaves us in a place that sets us up for financial disaster. And in that, I think today, the one thing, as I said, that we have to do with Generation Y is to teach and to train. I think we're kind of getting back into that now. What we're currently dealing with, I believe, which is a recession, is go back to the basics and learn how now to cut up credit cards, learn how to walk past all the incentives for opening up credit cards in department stores and the interest-free rates that only last you for about 6 months to a year, but you still end up paying more or double of what you would have been paying had they not had the 0% interest along the way, and get back to paying for things in cash. We already know that right now the value of the dollar is dropping every day. And eventually the dollar is not going to be much of anything whatsoever. We're going to go back to probably more like the colonial days of filling in gold and silver. But nevertheless, it's a matter of teaching now our young adults, young parents, and our youth what the value of a dollar is, how to go about in life being debt-free. That's what my parents did. They didn't have credit cards then. They may have had some credit accounts in some stores where they could buy something now and come in and pay it off via layaway and pay it off and then take the items home. That was a brilliant idea of being able to have credit in that form where it was a layaway. You get paid, you put these things away, you pay for it. Once you've got it paid off, and you take it home, and you don't owe anybody anything. It's yours. And that's the same thing that we need to get back to today. And there's some department stores that have actually gone into that. It's more of our discount, secondhand discount stores, if you met Marshall's, Target. They got the concept. They understand that. When you're dealing in a recession, you've got to get back to that cash-based process. And we need to teach that to our children. It's too late for a lot of us because now a lot of us are forced to go into bankruptcy, which is the big lie of starting all over. But now Uncle Sam has put a twist in that where you're not scot-free from your debt. You're still paying them off. They still have certain glitches in it that can actually nip you in the butt, if you will, along the way. But if you're in your 40s or your 50s and you're talking about filing bankruptcy, then you're going to be put in a position where you're not going to be very much help to your children. Because the first thing they look at, other than the fact that you're black or you may be a single household parent and you may not live in a desirable community or have the desirable job or, you know, the critiques that they feel that you need in order to extend credit to you, you're pretty much shot. But it's a good thing, too, because it then forces you to have to go to that cash-based payment process again. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a good thing, but yet it throws us back a couple of millenniums. But maybe that's what we need right now.
I agree. So, I agree.
Definitely
I think
teach
that
our children
the that's basics. That is what we need, and that is something that we do need to teach our children. And I think
probably is where the baby boomers kind of dropped the ball with their children, because what happens, every generation is supposed to do better than the generation previous to it. And unfortunately, it seems to me, and this is just my opinion, and I would like to hear you all's opinion as well, but it seems to me that the last three generations have gone into retrograde, which means they have gone backwards. And so has the economy, have also gone backwards. I mean, they're calling this a recession. In actuality, we're in a depression, even without them calling that, which means that we have actually went so far back as a country economically that we're at the point of where our grandparents, not even our parents, but our grandparents' situation, where jobs are scarce, the value of the dollar has decreased almost nothing, and that's what we're looking at. The state of the country is in so much debt that we're trying, you know, the country's trying to recover from the debt that's going on. The people in the country are at their economic woes, because those who have little will lose a little that they do have. Those who didn't have anything are just basically in a lot of trouble. So I think that the biggest thing that needs to happen, and yes, I believe that baby boomers dropped the ball, but I think Generation X, Generation Y, and the new millennium children have suffered for the simple fact that we have not passed on the values that our grandparents had, which means our grandparents had those values and our parents had those values, but because things were looking so well that they didn't necessarily pass all of those values back to us. And as a result of that, we suffered and we did not pass those things on to our children. And although Generation X was able to go further in education than their parents and their grandparents were able to, we decided that we were not going to parent like our parents parented. We decided that we were going to be our children's friend. So instead of being parents to them and instilling the economic values of a dollar, we were given in to their every want, and not supplying them with all of their needs and some of their wants. We put their wants even before their needs. And a need sometimes needs to be telling them no. And not just saying no because I said so, but telling them no and why. Why can't we afford this? Because we need to prepare for your future. We need to be able to afford today. And this is how much the household bills are in our family now. This is how much we bring in as a paycheck or a means of income for the family. Now, this is exactly how much all of the money that's going out of the house. We need to involve our children in the process of that. What's going on with all of the bills? Because I believe that what happened with the baby boomers, they didn't tell us how much the bills were. We just know that there was food on the table, when we wanted to go somewhere, we were able to do that. We were able to go to college, and that somehow, miraculously, those things happen. And I think we pass those things on to our children. So Generation Y, which are the children who were born in the 80s and the 90s, and the new millennium children, which are all the children that are born in year 2000 and up to now, they have absolutely no concept of the dollar bill. All they know is you go to the magic box, you put in the magic card, you draw it out, and you get goods and services. Go
hey,
to the
Diamond?
ATM. Yes.
I would come under the heading of, you said the baby boomers?
You are a baby boomer.
Oh, I am a baby boomer. Oh, I'd be one of the baby boomers.
Yes.
Okay, now,
your generation, the way it fits is because you were born, and if you're born
late 30s, around the 40s, that would make you a baby boomer.
Yeah, late 30s, 40s and, yeah, late 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now.
Consider.
Hey, now, what happened with my parents' generation? Okay, in my parents' generation, okay, the girl stayed at home until some boy came and took him away as his wife. The boys left home. They went out on their own. They went out into the world to make a man of themselves and be a man. Now, my okay, that was my parents' generation. With my generation, it was basically the same. In the beginning, it was basically the same thing. What was happening now, my parents never told me that, okay, when you reach X age, you're going to have to get out of here. But I always knew that I would come of age where I would get myself a job, and I would go out, I would leave my parents' house and go and get my own house and be my own man. And this is something that, like I said, nobody ever said anything to me, but I knew this was what was going to happen. And I would come of age, I'd get enough money to be out on my own, and I would do it. And that's what happened. Today, okay, that was with my generation. Okay, like I'm saying, this whole thing started, say, like, with these, say, like all these babies being born to teen mothers. This started out, like, in the, like I said, late 50s, 58, 59. It started out around then. Okay.
Okay.
What had happened, so it wasn't, say, like the entire baby boomer generation. It would say, like, when we reached the age of 16, okay, when we reached the age of 17 and 18, because it started out with 17 and 18-year-old girls. A number of years went by, and the girls started having babies younger. They started at 16 and 15, then 13, then 14 and 13. And as it goes along, the teen mothers just got younger and younger. But you see, what has happened is that the parents do not, and this is, say, like, really part of my generation's fault, we started out doing it, and it just continued. Didn't tell the kids that, hey, look, I have a plan for my future, and it has nothing to do with you. You're going to have to get out here. I'm going to give you the best tool. I'm going to give you all the tools to work with. But it's up to you to use them. But you're not going to be living with me all of your life. And this is what happened. The girls are having babies with their mother, and they stay right with mom. No boy ever comes and takes them away. He only brings them back and they're pregnant. He's only gone long enough to go out on a date. And that's the name of the game. And it just has continued. So now you're in a situation where we've got three and four generations, single mother, head of house. Nobody's ever been married. The concept of marriage, of family, has gone out the tubes. These people got the idea that a family is a woman and X number of babies. That's a unit. A family is a man and a woman and X number of babies.
That is true. Now, let me put a pause on that. If you just joined us, you're listening to Secure Your Life. We're talking about kids and money, your kids, your money, your plan, and we're talking social economic issues. The question for tonight is, who is responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and Generation Y, and what is the resolve of that, and how can we help the new millennium children prepare for their future? So I'm going to go back to area code 773-787 to something that you had said in your comment when we were talking about going back to being cash rich and eliminating the idea of living off of credit. I completely agree with that, and I think that, like you said, the advent of living off of credit is where Generation X just fell apart for us. and why we have passed on to Generation Y, which are the children who are born in the 80s and 90s, and the new millennium children, because those are still our children too. How we kind of broke, made everything just fall apart because we were so dependent on credit. We messed up our own credit. We passed on these frivolous economic behaviors to our children. And you're right, we definitely do need to go back to being reliant on cash and carry. And I would like to, if you could comment a little bit more on that, so that we can, this is the resolve that we're talking about. How should we resolve Generation X and Y's problems so that they don't carry, you know, so that X and Generation Y and the new millennium children won't carry the same burden that we're carrying in Generation X. So the resolve of that.
And one of the things that myself being a member of Generation X, I used to laugh at the fact that my father, who, you know, was part of that generation that just had an elementary school education, came from the South, went into the military, came out, had developed a skill in being a mechanic and was a skillful master mechanic, actually learned how to actually build a car and started his own business here in Chicago. Two mechanic shops, very successful, with a seventh grade education. My father never used the lack of education as an excuse or reason for him in any aspect of life. He wasn't very good with finances, but he was very good at earning an income for his family, and a massive income at that. He partnered with my mother, who was skilled as a hairstylist, they call it a beautician at that time, and a wonderful mother, but she also had a great business mind. So she dealt with the money aspect of the household. Together, that was a dynamic team. Separated, they both fell apart. But I used to laugh at my father because my father was not keen on banks. He didn't trust banks. He didn't trust the white man either. So my father saved money in a coffee can.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden in a space that he dug in his shop, in a secure space no one would ever think to go to, put the can down and all the money he made. And no matter what our family was going through, no matter what the need was, this man seemed to have a bottomless can. But he never went to anyone's bank. My mother, on the other hand, handled the finances. She put a little money in the bank, and that was just to build credit and to be credit-heavy when it was needed to support family members. She paid all the bills. She took care of everything. And she, to me at the time, not being a perfect woman, but to me was really like that proverbial 31 woman that they speak of in the Bible. She did it all. But what they really did was myself, I was an only child between the two of them, and I was a spoiled child. So I was one of those kids who grew up with thinking that I was privileged.
Okay.
And just as the other caller, went to college. As soon as you got in college, it was like credit cards were thrown to me left and right. And I applied for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I got my first car in my freshman year, brand spanking new. I'll never forget it. It was a red Pontiac Grand Am. They just came off the assembly line, just came out. And
yeah.
I rode proudly in that car with my little sorority stickers and stuff in it, and never looking at the fact that, okay, this car has to be paid for as soon as I graduate. And these credit cards that I applied for that I'm sending back to my father is now taking a special trip down here to Texas to say, okay, that's enough. Give me the credit card, pay off for the car. Here's a bank card. Whatever you need to spend, it'll be in your account. Whatever's not in the account, you don't have to spend. That was a reality shock to me. But what it did was it taught me that, okay, if there's anything else that I'm getting outside of the allowance they've given me for expenditures, I'm going to have to get a job. I'm going to have to pay for it because mom and daddy can't find out about this. And they're not going to pay for it because I've really torn my butt down when it comes to finances now. And my dad was still, you know, kind of not too tough, but my mother's the one who sent him because I preferred that she sent him than herself to come down because it would have been really ugly. But nevertheless, the thing that it taught me was if I'm going to be independent, I have to learn how to be responsible for my independence.
Right.
And in that, I also learned just from being around other kids who didn't necessarily have that little bit of what I consider privilege to support them. They were struggling hard to keep those that GPA at a certain place because there was financial aid that had to be paid for. And if their grades were to slip and they weren't doing what they needed to do, there were penalties for that. And their parents wasn't going for that. Some of them had to carry that financial aid on their own. Others had the opportunity where their parents carried the financial aid for them, and that was double whammy because if they failed or didn't do the things that needed to be done in the time span that the parents were supposed to be responsible for this debt, that's kind of like suicide. So
yes, it is.
I witnessed that and realized, okay, there's something more to this than what I'm getting. But it wasn't until the point in time where life situations hit. When mama and daddy was gone, they had divorced along the way. And separately, like I said, they didn't do a very good job. My father being on his own independently, me being, you know, this independent person now who's coming to a place where I can take care of myself. I didn't have to ask daddy for anything. But when I went to daddy, I was like, well, dad, how are things going? You know, you're taking care of this bill. I would see a bill sitting around. Oh, sugar, don't worry about that. I've got it paid off. It's taken care of. Don't worry about it. Are you sure? Do you need me? No, 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 it's okay. Well, at the same time, dad, at the time of his death, lost everything he owned, building, businesses, cars, bank accounts. He had absolutely nothing.
Wow.
Mom made bad business decisions helping out family. When she died, she had nothing. So there was nothing that was taught, and there was nothing that was witnessed outside of having a wonderful childhood because didn't know the financial struggles that was in the background. We were not as some other families that may have been of another race, let's say Caucasian, who may have been in that same situation, but because they had additional information that had been given to them about having money, investing money, putting money in places that was going to work for them and not against them, not just putting it in a can, but putting it someplace where it was going to create additional capital for them and creating a legacy as it's supposed to be, to pass on to their children so their children would have a boost to move and to go beyond the capabilities and the lifestyle in which they themselves had incurred. It's always preparing for that next generation. Well, mine worked hard. They created capital, but they weren't smart in life decisions that they made, so it was all worthless for me. But in that, it also taught me, okay, I've got to play catch-up now because now I'm supposed to create a lifestyle for my children that's better than the one that I had. That was a pretty good darn childhood and lifestyle, but the ball was dropped at the end. But now I've got to play catch-up and create the lifestyle that they had, that I had and some because now I've got to leave them the legacy.
Right.
So what I've got to do now is teach them the core of what my parents did was the value of the dollar, but now they need to also learn how to make their money work harder for them than they work for getting the money.
And that is true. You're right. I think that is the biggest lesson that we need to pass on to create legacies. Even though you are, you know, I'm a Generation X person too, I think that the baby boomers and even the, you know, our grandparents who are the turn of the century people did not necessarily, I mean, some of them did leave legacies for their children. But I believe that the baby boomers did kind of drop the ball. We definitely, Generation X, we completely dropped the ball for Generation Y and the new millennium children. Completely 100% dropped all of the balls. Because one, like you said, we didn't prepare. Our parents, like Ron had said, they started out teaching the children how to prepare for the future because they survived the Great Depression. So they kind of, some of it was subliminal and some of it was outwardly telling the children, listen, you need to prepare. I didn't have much of an education, but you're going to have an education.
Right.
And you're going to do these certain things and you're going to save money and you're going to get out on your own. And they kind of instilled those values into the children. But then when the baby boomers had their children, the later baby boomers, the ones that are actually closer to Generation X, those people really dropped the ball for Generation X. Then when Generation X came to be and then we started having children, when we like you said, when I was in college, I got the same thing you did. Went into the bookstore, was introduced to, I think within my bag from the bookstore, there was at least 5 credit card applications. At least 5. And, you know, I saw friends do exactly what you said. They applied for every one of them, and those who didn't apply or could, you know, who did not qualify. I think every student qualified as long as you were in college. They figured you didn't have to qualify. Someone is giving you money to be able to go to college. So,
right.
You know, I've seen people take their Pell Grant, use that money if they, you know, apply. Even the student loans, they actually got a little bit of a larger loan than they needed for that particular semester, quarter, or even year. And they would use that money to pay some of their credit card bills or actually take their friends on shopping sprees. I mean, we had no control, no idea about what to do with the plastic.
Right.
And credit cards, it's not money. It is not money. And I think our generation didn't understand in college that, yeah, you have the ability to spend. It gave us privilege to spend, but it was not money.
Right.
And our value system was screwed up. And I think that we tried to outdo ourselves with our children. We did kind of have the same kind of idea that the baby boomers had for us, which is make sure that your children, that they do a little bit better than you. But I think what happened, the ball that we dropped as Generation X for our children and Generation Y and the new millennium children was instead of instilling them the value of a dollar and the value of what you can do with that dollar, we instill in our children the value of credit,
right.
The value of spending, the value of outdoing the next person with the next fast, quick thing. You know, even though you might have I think what the first video game handheld thing, I think was a Game Boy. Just because, you know, you've got a Game Boy, now you have to get the next thing. You know, I think that was the Sony, I can't remember the name of it, but the next handheld thing. And then it went from that to you have to get the Xbox. Then you needed to get the Wii. We kept providing things instead of values. Our children value things more than they value anything else.
Right. And you know what, Diamond, and the one thing that I want to say, too, and is that, you know, we need not get it twisted. Credit is very important. We need to state that credit is very important, but it's important when it's being utilized in a proper perspective.
Right.
And that's when you make the credit work for you. It's when you need to go and you're making, you know, investment purchases that's going to make money for you and turn that credit around from being credit to be an asset. That's when you need to have a certain amount, and when we say credit, we're saying being able to go into a bank or go to an institution where you've got your savings, you have your money, where you're living, you know, on cash. But when it's necessary on paper for investment purposes or for business purposes, with the money that's available as far as credit is concerned, you look good on paper. It doesn't necessarily mean because you have $500,000 worth of credit that's available to you that you need to utilize or look at that, as you said earlier, as cash in the bank. It's not.
It's not
a heck of an asset to have when you need investors or financial institutions to look at you if you're going in to start up a business and they say, wow, this person has really created quite a bit of a business portfolio, financial portfolio for themselves. These are their assets. This is their cash capital, and this is their credit worthiness. That's when it's beneficial, but it doesn't mean that you utilize it. And that's what we need to teach our kids. That was the actual purpose, and it wasn't meant for us to really have the credit anyway, other than
that's
to destroy us as African Americans. But we need to teach them the true core purpose as to why credit came to exist in the first place and the magnitude that we have abused it.
Yeah. Say, Diamond?
We should have utilized differently.
Yes, Ron.
Yeah. Benjamin Franklin made a statement that could well be attuned to credit. He said that fire was a very great servant but a very poor master. Credit is the same way. Credit is a very great servant, but it's a very poor master. And the thing being, you can make your credit work for you, especially with these things. The credit card people have gotten so hungry now that they are giving you they'll give you credit money to you. They'll give you so many points when you use your card. And they'll send you a check back for that.
Right.
Okay.
The cash back or the cash rewards for you.
Rewards program. That's what they're called. Yeah, they have the different rewards programs. But the thing being, why you can make your credit, because the thing being, a lot of people are saying, well, those rewards programs are a joke. They're just getting over. Well, those are shopkeepers. You can't beat the shopkeeper. It's impossible. Now, what you have to do, you become the shopkeeper for yourself, for your family.
Right.
If you are the shopkeeper, you cannot lose. The shopkeeper never go broke. I was made completely aware of this. I made friends with a fellow back in the late 70s. He was from Pakistan. He had a high-end men's clothing boutique, and he once told me that we were discussing the economics of the shop and his business and whatever, and he was telling me, he says that you would be amazed. He says, Ron, I could tell you to pick out the most expensive suit in the shop, and I could give you that suit as a gift. And then send you down to my tailor and get that suit tailored for free. You know how much I would lose? Not a dime. He says, matter of fact, you'd be amazed at how many suits I could give away and how much free tailoring I could give away before I would start going into the red. You cannot beat the shopkeeper. It's not you against the shopkeeper. It's you getting the most goods and services for your money. Forget what the other guy is doing.
That's
we need goods and services. But that don't mean we have to pay top dollar for it. Look for the deal.
And you are so right with that, Ron. And I am going to do a summary of what we talked about because we are out of time.
Ooh,
and basically, yeah, this was a great show. we talked about the social economic issues of how who's responsible for the economic failures of Generation X and Generation Y. It has become a consensus that it's all started with the baby boomers. Then Generation X themselves really dropped the ball by passing on, one, not being prepared, one, for their own future, and also passing on kind of bad economic behaviors to their children, and also perpetuating those things for themselves and destroying their own credit because they did not understand the value of a dollar or understanding credit, dealing with reading the fine prints of the bottom line of compound daily, what exactly does that mean, how the credit card situation works, how it can work against you, and most of us, it has worked against us, and what we need to do for our Generation Y and Millennium children is to teach them the value of a dollar, how to make your credit work for you instead of against you, and how to pass on a legacy to our children. So we do have a problem and a resolve tonight, and I'm really happy, and hopefully we can start passing on the lessons, because sometimes it is better to learn what not to do, not necessarily what to do. So now that Generation X have gone through this, we can start fixing what we have broken and then pass on the lessons that we learned from our woes, the positive of that to our children so that they can have a better future than we have made for ourselves and that the baby boomers have left us. So with that, I want to conclude the show and say thank you all for joining me for Secure Your Life. Please join us tomorrow when we'll be talking about actually saving money with Dollar Diva and her bargain Betty's going around town and on the web trying to find the best deal. Ron said look for the deal. So if you want to look for some great savings and learn how to make your dollar stretch, I advise you all to please tell a friend and join us tomorrow for Secure Your Life when we're talking about how to get the best deal and make your dollar stretch. So good night, everyone. Great show. And good night.
Night, Diamond.
Night.
Now my landlord is after me. I can't pay the rent. Sexual offense. So glad I bought that.